witnessing. That's equivalent to almost 3 four-letter words. And how many of you feel that way about that word? It's pretty hard to do, isn't it? It's a scary word. We think we need to be like Lucy in an old Peanuts cartoon. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I would have made a great evangelist." And Charlie Brown answers, "Is that so?" She says, "Yes, I convinced that boy in front of me in school that my religion is better than his religion." And Charlie Brown asked, "Well, how did you do that?" And Lucy answered in typical Lucy style, "I hit him over the head with my lunchbox." Too many times we think that we have to hit someone over the head with our lunchbox to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we've probably all experienced someone who takes that approach. Years ago, there was a man with whom I worked who hit me over the head a couple times with his lunchbox, but I ran the other way. That was just, he was a little too pushy in his approach. Instead, there were other people in my secular career with whom I worked who very lovingly mentored me in my faith walk. Oh, I'd grown up in the church, and I walked away a little bit in college when I was exposed to all those new ideas, and we know colleges can often be a bit liberal, and kind of tested the waters. I hadn't really accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus at that time. And so there was always someone at my place of work who was a little more mature spiritually, with whom I became friends, and who walked with me, not hitting me with a lunchbox, but encouraging me in my faith walk. I was a consultant, so I had various assignments, and each time there was someone there, that person, and it got to the point where I would look around and say, "Okay, God, who's it this time? Who do you have for me this time?" And eventually, I realized that God had turned the tables on me. And now it was my turn to mentor other people, to walk alongside of them, and to love them, and to share with them. One day, I was out walking with my cube mate around the lake or pond at the GM Tech Center. And she said to me, "Tell me about Jesus." And I thought, whoops. You go ahead. I'm going to go find my Bible and check some things out, and then I'll be back to talk to you. Now, I said, "Well, I can only tell you about who Jesus is to me." And that's all any of us need to do. Who is Jesus to you? Friday was our baby grandson's second birthday. You know, as a typical grandma, I have to tell you what cute things he does and says. He greeted us with such excitement when we came in the door. And he said, "Grandma, come." And he wanted to take me to his room so I could play with him in his room. And when you ask him how old he is, he said, "I, big boy, I, too." And he is 2, going on 5. You know, as a grandma, I'm so excited to tell about our grandchildren. All 9 of them, but we don't have that much time. As a Christian, am I as excited to tell you about my first love, Christ, and Him crucified and risen from the dead? My grandchildren are so important to me. They just light up my life. Jesus, my Lord and Savior, my brother through my adoption by God. Doesn't he deserve as much? Why don't I talk about him as much as I talk about my grandchildren? We are all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are all called to go, to love, and to share. Too often, we're like the disciples who didn't want to commit fully. Too often we're comfortable where we are and what we're doing. That we are afraid, or we just don't want to get out of our comfort zone. Or too often we're afraid that we will be looked down upon for as a Bible thumper, or that we are being pushy or whatever. And so we are hesitant to share our faith. But God doesn't ask us to hit anybody over the head with a lunchbox. That may be Lucy's style, but it's not God's style. Not Jesus' style. How did he share the good news? How did he get followers? He loved them. He was willing to reach out to them. I want to tell you about a parable. Tell you a parable. There was a blackout one night, and when the lights went out, this gentleman fumbled to the closet where he kept the candles for nights like that, and he lit 4 of them. And as he was turning to leave, with the large candle in his hand, when he heard a voice, "Now hold it right there." Who said that? I did, was a voice near his hand. "Who are you? What are you?" "I'm a candle." I lifted up the candle to take a closer look. There was a tiny face in the wax. "Don't take me out of here." "What?" I said, "Don't take me out of this room." What do you mean? "I have to take you out. You're a candle. Your job is to give light. It's dark out there." "But you can't take me out. I'm not ready," the candle explained with pleading eyes. "I need more preparation." I couldn't believe my ears. More preparation? yeah, I've decided I need to research this job of light giving so I won't go out and make a bunch of mistakes. You'd be surprised how distorted the glow of an untrained candle can be. All right then, I said. You're not the only candle on the shelf. I'll blow you out and take the others. But right then I heard other voices. We aren't going either. I turned to the other candles. You are candles and your job is to light dark places. Well, that may be what you think, said the first one. You may think we have to go, but I'm busy. I'm meditating on the importance of light. It's really enlightening. And you other two, I asked, are you going to stay too? A short, fat, purple candle with plump cheeks spoke up. I'm waiting to get my life together. I'm not stable enough. The last candle had a female voice, very pleasant to the ear. I'd like to help, she explained, but lighting the darkness is not my gift. I'm a singer. I sing to other candles to encourage them to burn more brightly. She began a rendition of This Little Light of Mine, and the other three joined in, filling the closet with singing. I took a step back and considered the absurdity of it all. Four perfectly healthy candles singing to each other about light, but refusing to come out of the closet. Here's a question for you. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? This world is full of darkness, with many people stumbling to trying to find their way. You can be a light for them, and believe me, there's a light waiting for you. It can all happen with something like sharing your faith. Just a smile across the room, a quick hello to a forgotten friend. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Yet let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you like one of the candles? Or are you willing to go out and let your light shine so that others may see? Now, I'm not sure what the distance is, but someone help me. They say that the light of a single candle can be seen for, what is it? Okay, for 10 miles in the dark. Amazing, isn't it? You know, when Billy Graham started his career, have any of you heard of Billy Graham? He's brought one or two people to Christ, right? When he started out, he almost quit because he didn't believe that he didn't believe he was the right person for the job. Aren't we glad he didn't stay in the closet and have his light hidden? What about Moses? When God came to him and said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and save my people. Take my people out of Egypt. And what did he say? Not me. God, you must be talking to someone else because I can't speak fluently. You know, I stumble over my words. I I have this backache. The sheep need watering. You know, he had excuses. Obviously not those excuses, but yet he was willing to go. God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the call. When you are willing to go for Christ, wherever he sends you, he will enable you to do what he asks you to do. There was a man that was longing to serve God. And he said, God, if you want me to share my faith with someone, give me, you know, make it very clear to me that this is the person you want me to share my faith with. Well, part of his commute was on a bus. So he was sitting on the bus. There was no one else on the bus except the bus driver. And they stopped to pick up this man, big, burly, tough-looking guy. Looked like mean as a rattlesnake. And the man got on the bus and sat right next to this guy. And he's thinking, okay. And then this big, tough man started just crying and said, I am so alone. I just wish I had someone to talk to, someone to share my loneliness with, someone who could help me. And the guy is sitting there, okay. And then he said, it's getting near a stop, and he said, God, is this the one you want me to share with? Did he need a sign on him? We don't know who God is going to put in our path. We think that we have to do something fancy, when all we need to do is listen and love. We have a friend, a man from the church I served, who had gone through the ministry exploration program and to see if he was being called into the ministry. And as I went through that preliminary stages with him, I didn't get the sense that he was called into pastoral ministry, but I saw such a beautiful heart within this man, a heart longing to serve and to share and to just care for people. Well, he is now, he works in a hospice center, caring for the dying. He's also a Stevens minister in his church. Well, his wife shared with me the other day that as someone in his care at the hospice center passes, he always says the Lord's Prayer at the time of their passing. He's always with them. And he explains to their families, if they're there, what he's going to do at that time. He said he never planned it, but it's just something that he felt called to do. There was one doctor whose family member was dying, and when Brian shared with him what he was going to do, the man broke down in tears. He was so touched by that love and compassion and caring. When his wife sees people in in town that she doesn't know and says her name, they say, "Oh, are you Brian's wife?" Everybody knows Brian because someone that they know or love was touched by Brian's love and care. He embodies the love of Christ. He's not afraid to go and to love and to share. I'm so far off from my sermon. I'll tell you another story. This is storytelling time, I guess. There was a teacher who taught in a school that had quite a diverse student body. And at Thanksgiving, she asked her third grade class to draw a picture of something for which they were thankful. Some of the kids were very privileged and others very underprivileged. She thought maybe that these underprivileged children wouldn't have anything to be thankful for. They had it pretty rough. But one little child handed in a picture of a hand. And she wondered if the child was drawing a parent's hand or a relative's hand or maybe even God's hand. But when she asked the little boy whose hand it was, he said, "It's your hand, teacher, because you're good to me and you care for me." No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can love. You can share God's love with other people. You can give them a hand up. You can break that cracker for good or for ill. What about you? Are you willing to go to love and to share God's love with others? When you think of the chances you've had throughout the year to help your neighbors, can you remember helping? Sometimes we think we shouldn't get involved in other people's lives. We don't need to be nosy, but we can be helpful and loving. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, go and make disciples. Reach out to others by making a difference in their lives, a difference for God. Because if we will but introduce others to Christ, he will make a difference in their lives. Jesus didn't say, go and be happy. He didn't say, go and make money. He didn't even say, go to church, worship for an hour, and then go home and do your own thing. He said, go and make disciples. The word disciple is one who embraces and assists in spreading a teaching. We embrace the teaching of Jesus, and so we are expected to share the teachings of Jesus with others. God uses people like you and like me every day. What would the world be like without a smile, a hug, the twinkle of an eye, if you want him to, he will help you be an envoy to others. But you have to be willing to let God use you. You have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to love. And you have to be willing to share. Will you? The altar rail will be open during the hymn of dedication. If you'd like to come up and dedicate or rededicate your life to serving God and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, let us pray. Oh, Father God, we just praise you. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the love that you have for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us to share that love with others, to tell others the good news that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, the lover of our souls. Amen.